Joshua chapter 8, beginning with verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night and commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but ye be already. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall arise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. It shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. It came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that they were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Now this is a tactical advantage with this ambush to bring the people of the city out of the city and then come from behind and set the city on fire. It amazes us how God says to destroy the city, to burn it with fire, to kill all the people, to take the spoil of the city. This time he allows them to keep the spoil, so they will be enriched in cattle and flocks and wealth because of the battle. Now we know God is gracious and merciful and long-suffering with us and forgives us of our sins and iniquities. If you look back in Exodus chapter 34, Exodus 34 and verse 5 through 7, God speaks of himself. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, and the Lord passed by him before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste, bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. So God proclaimed how gracious and merciful he was and how he had been to Israel all along. And we know that God forgives us of our sins. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So sometimes it's difficult for us to reconcile how God, who is so merciful and gracious to us, could then destroy entire nations of people. His wrath poured out upon them. In the same way, he poured out his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says the wrath of God has been revealed against man. In Romans 1 in verse number 18. God's wrath has been revealed at Sodom and Gomorrah. His wrath was revealed in Noah's day. In Genesis chapter 6 in verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that man's faults were on evil continually. And it grieved God that he had made man, and God sought to destroy man from the face of the earth. We go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 18, and we're reminded of why God was driving out these nations from before Israel to give them the land. First, God had given this land to Abraham, but when God did that, he didn't set up a bunch of signs with markers, you know, to say this is Abraham's land and this is Jacob's land and that sort of thing. And so all these nations gathered and grew and used the land. In chapter 18 of Leviticus, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now in verse 6 through 22, he gives a long list of sexual sins, first of all dealing with incest. And these nations were guilty of all these things, and this was why God was driving them out. Incest with family members, adultery, homosexuality, sex with animals, prostitutes, both male and female, idolatry, and sexual sins were included with the idolatry. It was the method to draw men into the religion. Child sacrifices. Down in verse number 24 through 30, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments. Ye shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. And the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominations, abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. So we see the reason that God was bringing judgment upon these nations because of sin. God not only pronounced judgment upon these nations, but he warns Israel that he does not want them to be influenced by their connection to these people if they allow any of them to survive. God is just to judge sin and faithful in what he promises to do. You want to turn there in 2 Peter chapter 3, just before the book of Revelation, 1 and 2 Peter, John, Jude, and Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So God will judge the unsaved world. And he judged it in Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged it in Noah's day. He is bringing a judgment upon these nations. The book of Jude says in verse 5 through 7, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Then in verse 14 and 15, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So God has pronounced judgment upon the world, and he will bring that judgment one day. And God is long-suffering for us that we could be saved, that we have opportunity to do his work, to try to get our loved ones saved, to try to help more people come to know the Lord as their Savior, because the judgment is true and sure and will take place. Back in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 26, they destroyed the king of Jericho and raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The valley of troubling or trouble that Achan caused in stealing the garments and the things that were dedicated unto the Lord. God assures Joshua not to fear and neither to be dismayed. He's to take the men of war and go out against Ai, and God has given the city into their hands and the king into their hands and the land into their hands. And this will not be as it was when they took 3,000 men and went against Ai and ran. They're taking 30,000 and hide them in ambush to come against them. And so it's a different situation. This time they're waiting on the Lord. This time they're obeying God. This time they're doing things God's way. And they will be victorious. We must not be discouraged by God judging sinners. It should always be a testimony to us, number one, of the mercy of God that we have been saved, and number two, of the sureness of God's righteousness, he will judge the wicked. He said, I've given into your hand the king and the people and the city and the land, and do to Ai as you did to Jericho. The only difference is you can take the spoil of the cattle and the wealth of the city to yourselves. Now, God's plan of ambush is a brilliant military campaign. They were to divide the troops and lay an ambush behind the city. And Joshua chose 30,000 men to travel by night and go around behind the city and get ready so when the time came that they would attack the city from behind. And the Bible happens to say these were mighty men of valor. So that means they were veterans. They had men who had fought the wars already. They were proven. Joshua and the rest of the troops would divide again, setting 5,000 men in ambush off to the side between Bethel and Ai. Then he would lead the troops to attack the city, and as before, when the people of Ai came out against them, they would turn and run away from them, and that would draw all the people of the city out so those in ambush could attack the city from behind. And he said, for the Lord your God will deliver them into your hand. The Lord told Joshua after the people chased them, let not a man to be left in the city. Point your spear, verse 18 says in chapter 8, at the city. And the ambush rose up quickly and entered the city and set it on fire. And when Ai saw the fire and the smoke of the city, it took all their power away to flee or to do anything. They probably stood there looking at their city burning and the smoke going up and didn't know what to do. And so Joshua and the soldiers smote them, and they took the king captive, verse number 23. The king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And Ai, all that fell in that day was 12,000 men and women, verse number 25. So it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Joshua held out his spear until all the city was destroyed, and they took the cattle and the spoil for themselves, as God had said. Now look over to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Israel knew very clearly about these curses that God had pronounced. In Galatians 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So they hung the king of Ai on a tree. Now, whether they hung him like we think about Old West hangings, or whether it was like a crucifixion hanging on a tree, Jesus suffered the curse of sin for us hanging on the tree, and this king suffered the curse of his city by hanging on a tree. And God had taught them not to leave the body there overnight. But when even came, they were to take the body down and they were to bury it, or they were to burn it and pile stones upon it to make a clear end of the ruler and what he had done. In verse 30, Joshua builds an altar unto the Lord in Mount Ebal and offers sacrifices and peace offerings on the altar as Moses had commanded. After the great victory, here now they are offering sacrifices. They're praising God. They're rejoicing at what God has done. They're rejoicing at the blessings of the spoil they were able to take unto themselves. And the priests and the people divide between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And they had done the same thing when they came across Jordan and came through this valley. They had piled up great stones and wrote the commands upon them, and they had offered sacrifices on stones where no metal had ever touched, and that's where they made sacrifices of peace offerings and sacrifices. And verse 34 tells us that he read all the law. Now, this was a lengthy day. They have fought a battle. They've destroyed a city. They've burned the city. They've hung the king. They've now taken him down and buried him. And now they've gathered together and made sacrifices, and they've read all the law of God, including the blessings and the cursings. You remember these two mountains had a valley between them. It made a perfect amphitheater. So when they spoke from the mountains, the people could be in the valley and they could hear very clearly all that was said. And they were to divide themselves up to give praise and rejoice at the blessings, and then to hear the curses. All Moses wrote, Joshua read before the congregation of the men and women and the children and the strangers among them, the valley between the two mountains. Joshua has done what the Lord wanted him to do. They can now rejoice in God's deliverance. When they first foolishly went up against Ai, 36 men died when the people of Ai came out against the 3,000 that went up against them. But now Israel has defeated the enemy, and 12,000 All the men of the city were destroyed in this battle. Again, it's hard to realize how God looks upon these things and says, give no mercy, no quarter for these people. Destroy every one of them, men, women, and children. God, who's normally merciful and kind and gracious, will finally have judgment where there is no mercy upon man. Turn to Revelation chapter 20 with me. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It is hard for us to convince our neighbors and friends and family members who are not faithful in church of the judgment of God and what God will one day do to all who don't know Christ as Savior. They will be cast into the lake of fire. If they die today, they go to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2 says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the opportunity for men to hear the gospel and believe and be saved and be delivered from this present evil world. We have the promise of heaven. We have the promise of a new heaven and a new earth when we come back to this world with the Lord. But all the unsaved have no promise unless they repent of their sins and turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. It's not how good they are. It's not how nice they are. It's not what they've done for people. It's not how much money they've given to the church. They must know Christ as Savior or they'll die and go in the lake of fire. So it's time for us to warn men while there's opportunity. They can freely come and be saved as we have and be a part of the family of God and be delivered from the judgment to come. But unless they repent, unless they believe, then they'll face that kind of judgment where every man, woman, and child will be cast into the lake of fire. They do not know Christ as their Savior. Judgment of God is a strong thing. But remember the mercy and the love and the grace that he would give his son to die in our place and we can be saved. And they have that opportunity too. Romans 1 speaks of the fact that men knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They turned away from God. And that's why the world's in such a mess today. When you go back to Noah's family after the flood, the whole earth knew about God. But they didn't get better because of it. They continued to turn away from God and to reject. So God help us to be a good witness for Christ and tell people about his love and mercy while they have the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we bow our heads before you. We give you thanks and praise. We know that what you do is just and righteous. And so we give you praise and thanks. We thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of the fruit of your long suffering, that we have received Christ and forgiveness and everlasting life. And now we're kept by your power. So we rejoice in that and give thanks in that. Help us to be concerned and have compassion toward the lost who need to be saved. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.